You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
Some guy walks up to me. He says to me,
"This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Aren't you Susie Schuster's husband?"
No.
With guest host, Susie Schuster.
I want to take a minute to talk about Caleb Williams.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
This is a kid who just wanted to go to his mom. When did him need to be comforted become a sign that he's soft?
Today's guests, two-time Super Bowl champion Eli Manning, Yahoo Sports columnist Dan Wetzel, Marconi Award winner Rich Eisen, and now sitting in for Rich, it's Susie Schuster.
You know, I feel like I'm still at home. I'm trying to get these guys to focus. We have a television show, a radio show, a podcast.
I'm focused, man.
We're streaming.
I'm fully focused, man.
These Yahoos are over here screaming at each other across the way like it's last night's game. I'm trying to watch the Warriors last night. I'm trying to watch the Warriors
Great
and the
game.
Nuggets.
Warriors.
Amazing.
Great game.
Amazing. And I'm like, could you stop beating your brother up? Like, Taylor, stop playing with the dogs. You're a point guard. Pay attention. Then we had three murders in the building last night. Three what? Indestructible toys that my dogs destroyed.
I was like, wait, are you catching up on
murders? Three
murders
in the building. Yeah, destroyed the squirrel, the possum, and the octopus. Yeah, it was a rough night last night.
Why did Steph go left-hand scoop?
Dude, why did he do that? And what happened to Klay Thompson with a second or so to go? And here I was.
Just slipped out of his head.
I felt for him.
Yeah. I rewatched that like literally 15 times this morning.
Yeah.
When Chris threw the ball, it was ahead of him.
It was a hair ahead, TJ. It was a hair ahead.
A little too fast.
I mean, you can't just say, Steph Curry with the left-handed floater down the lane, and that's why they lost the game. But left-handed floater down the lane. But I mean, look, he was insane.
Well, Steph had a rough shooting night. I think he only made three-point shots,
by the way, yeah. Like a jackass, I said to the kids with a minute to go, and I'm like yelling at my kids, like, "Would you go to bed?" I'm like, "It's a minute to go." I'm like, "Okay, this game's over."
For everyone confused, we're talking about the end of the Golden State Warriors Denver Nuggets game.
Yeah, that's right.
But shall we reset? Hey, everybody, welcome to the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey,
Susie Schuster in for Rich Eisen, who, by the way, just got back to Frankfurt. He's got a big game this weekend.
Did he take Oleg with him?
He didn't, but he was very excited. He was met at the platform by NFL security. And he liked it.
Just saying, big time.
Well, you know why? Because he's known all over Germany from his bike tour.
Oleg sent us an email. Did you see that?
Through Berlin.
That was incredible.
TJ, good morning.
Hey,
Mikey,
Suze.
Good morning. Chris Brockman, good morning.
Hey,
good morning
Suze.
To all of you out there watching on Roku and listening to us. I want to be clear. We did change our Sirius. It's XM 161. Sirius 161. Don't listen to me. Sirius XM 161.
You want me to
do it?
And
206, you do it. I'll tell you why. My brother was like, I tried to listen.
Okay, if you're watching us on Roku and you need to bounce around and listen
to
us on Sirius, we're on Sirius 161. If your automobile has XM, it's XM 206. And if you're looking for us on the Sirius XM app, 998.
Thank you for that. Mikey, that's where you could play the you can't be serious drop, by the way. And you must be. But yeah, my brother was like, I tried to listen to you yesterday, and where were you? And I said, okay, let me do a reset off the top of the show. We're already off the rails. Back to the game.
We are off the rails. I kind of like it.
Back to the game. Uh-huh. Here I was, jackass number one. I'm like, guys, the games are, forget it. It was insane.
Well, Coop was probably dialed in.
Coop's like, Mom, we got time. Then again, a three-pointer. We're now back in the game. And by we, I'm saying they, but I do love Steve Kerr. I'm an unabashed Warriors fan because I'm such a big Steve Kerr fan. And there I thought, yet again, here we go. And then, yes, it was an inch or two in front of him, and Klay Thompson was just so mad at himself. And I love seeing a guy mad at himself this early in the season. I love it. I think it's great. I'm all about it, TJ Jefferson.
You know what's funny is, just like I said, just rewatching the end of that game. When Chris Paul gets the rebound, they head out to the other basket and he throws the pass to Klay, and the ball's a little bit ahead of him. I literally am sitting there thinking, if he pulls up at half court, and I'm like thinking, wait a minute. Like, I literally am sitting here saying, this guy should just pull up from half court.
Yes.
And there's two guys on the court who could pull up from half court, and you go, that shot might go in, you know, and it would be Curry or Thompson. So it's just one of those things. Not enough time. The ball is a little bit ahead of him.
And just another reminder of just how big Nikola Jokic is.
Best player in the NBA, front runner for MVP. The Nuggets got to be your title favorite right now. That was everything you wanted kind of out of a first couple weeks of the season, playoff preview. Like, I think it was Rachel Nichols, I think, tweeted it out. Like, let's take seven of those come May, because I think we would all sign for that. It was awesome. Great finish and, great ball night.
What else did we watch? We watched Wemby in New York, which, by the way, was very anticlimactic.
Kind of a womp-womp, but that's okay. Not a big deal. You know, the Spurs aren't a great team. They're going to lose a lot of games this year.
They're the youngest team in the NBA.
Yeah, they're going to have a lot of growing pains. You know, that was kind of more important for the Knicks, I think, to kind of get a win there at home and hold the home court.
Back-to-back
for the Knicks. And then TJ and I were locked into Sixers-Celtics. Kind of a womp-womp night as well.
Maybe for you.
Yeah, not for me.
Well, I'm just saying both teams didn't play all that great. Sure. Kind of a slow first half, low scoring, defensive battle. Kind of what you expect with these two teams who have had so much, butting heads in the playoffs of late.
A lot of history.
And, kind of a fun, came down to the wire. Wasn't really a game. Then 2 minutes to go, bunch of turnovers, bunch of quick shots for the Celtics. And suddenly it's like, okay, I talked myself into overtime there, TJ. I was like, okay, maybe we can get overtime here. And then, it's all right. Embiid's playing great right now. Yep. TJ looks smart for taking him second overall now in our fantasy league.
Yeah, I was getting knocked for that, Seuss.
Yeah.
But so. Embiid is just, he's hard. How do you stop this guy when he's on?
Yeah, I don't
know.
He's
just like Joker. Ultimately, in a perfect world, and you guys know I do love the Clippers too, but like as a true basketball fan, I would love to see a finals where we got the Nuggets and the Sixers just to watch those two big dudes. Because, I love the big man, in terms of basketball. I know the game has gone to, shooting from midcourt. But I just love big dudes down low, physical, just doing their thing. And watching Joker against Embiid in a seven-game championship, I think would be a pretty fun thing to see.
I mean, what you're saying is that you love old-school basketball, a five was a five. And that's what I think is, it's funny. We talk about this every so often when Shaq comes on, is this, he kind of longs for the days when the five was actually a five, as opposed to like some of these just crazily talented people like Giannis, who basically can do whatever he wants to do. And we'll talk about this a little bit later in the show because, I do tend to go NBA heavy, but I'm kind of like fascinated with him kind of two techs and this kind of bad boy Giannis coming up. Reminds me of...
I'm here for Bad Boy Giannis.
You like Bad Boy Giannis?
It was kind of a soft ejection, but...
It was, it was a very soft ejection.
Agreed, but it's kind of like the NFL. Like, these guys know the rules.
Yeah.
True.
So play within the confines of the rules.
But you've said this before. No one's going there to watch Giannis get tossed out of a game.
Absolutely.
Like, give them a delay of game.
Because totally with it.
If he would have stood in his face and really barked at him, but he gave him a look. Like, they call these players soft. Well, that's soft to give him a tech for just staring at a guy who once chased LeBron around the court trying to rip his head off. So it's not like Stewart's a soft guy. Like, he probably loved it.
I have a theory about this that I will share later in the show.
I'm going to say, I wonder if it's a situation where... he saw Giannis kind of pose and flex, and I don't know if he yelled. Maybe I wasn't watching the game, but I wonder if the ref lost track of Giannis having a tech earlier in the game. And so it's one of those things. It's just like, let me quick tee him up. And then in your head, it's like, oh, bleep. That's his second one.
Right.
All right. Sorry, bud.
Oh, what did I do?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I hope that was the case.
And... it seems like that. I hope that's the most logical explanation, but I guess you never know.
844-204-RICH, call us. We had some really nice calls yesterday. I mean, I kind of took a beating for my Caleb Williams remarks about...
You did?
How so?
Oh, a little bit. I mean, I try to avoid... So, like, by the way, if you're going to put something like mean out, don't bother. I probably won't see it because I'm not really on social media. But, like, a couple people were like, oh, Caleb's soft, and she's taking the wrong approach. Caleb's soft. I'll stand by my approach that I don't have a real problem. I don't think his NFL career is over because he's soft and he can't lead men in a locker room because he went to go see his mom, Dane. But I got a kick out of that.
Let me just give you a little heads up here. You have to kind of also remember, you look at, if you're talking about Twitter or X who's saying it, I promise you anyone who was coming at you with a negative response had a private page. right?
And oh, they have like six followers.
So those, to me, are either bots, not real people, or
people
who want to call someone else soft. But if you saw them, they'd probably make the Michelin man look hard. Mm. So I wouldn't even take that to heart.
It took me a while
to get to that point.
But. Oh, no. I think, was it Brockman called them keyboard losers or something like that, which I thought was gorgeous. Keyboard tough guys. I mean, here's the good news. I slept great last night.
Of course you did.
I'm not even cranky today. I mean, it's crazy. I did wake up at 5:20. I'm like, oh no, Ten more minutes to go. What do you do with that?
I went up at 5 and was just kind of like,
4:44. All right.
What do you do with that?
I'm awake now.
What do you do with that? Yeah. And then Xander's ride fell through. I had to take a kid to school. I got to ask Eli Manning how he handles four kids.
Eli has four kids?
Four kids.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. Four. So when he joins us in the second hour, we will ask him not only how he handles four kids, but what do you do with the donkey in your screen?
Donkey.
What do you do? There is a game tonight, Christopher. There is a game tonight. I want to remind you
of that. There's a game tonight. Thursday night football from Chicago. Panthers, Bears. Oh, sorry. I'm awake now. Look, it's not going to be the prettiest of game. It's a super low total for the bettors out there. Justin Fields is not playing, so it's more Tyson Bagent and his crazy, insane arm wrestling dad. A chance for the whole country to see Bryce Young play.
Yep.
Will Al Michaels make it through the game?
He's great. He's going to be great. And
I don't know his interest level. Him and Herbie.
Maybe it's time for Bryce to show why he was the first pick.
Hey, there's a four seasons in that city.
I am excited to see Bryce Young play and how they handle the short week. They got kind of blasted last week after picking up their first win in week 8. I'm just trying to be positive.
The Athletic had a really interesting little bit, and I want to read it, and I want to give credit to The Athletic, because I hate it when people act like, I came up with this great idea. And it's like, because I read it, because somebody else did it. They're talking about the NFL quarterbacks, and it was in response to Tommy DeVito, no relation to Danny, starting as the Giants quarterback.
Yep.
With Jones and Taylor out. DeVito is already the 10th rookie quarterback to start a game this year, the most rookie starters we've seen in a season since 1950, and we're in week 10. That's bananas. Okay, then they went, let's zoom out even further. Not even counting DeVito, 46 quarterbacks have started a game this year, 14 of whom did not begin this year as a starter, and it's fantastic. And they went even further. And by the way, Athletic, I want a percentage of all the people that sign up from this promo. But so they're saying, I dare you without cheating to name the colleges for these quarterbacks who've started a game in 2023. DeVito, Bagent, O'Connell, Clayton Tune, and Jaren Hall.
All right, so DeVito.
There is your drinking game, people, and it's 9 a.m. on the West Coast.
I think I can do it, too. I know DeVito went to Syracuse and then played last year at Illinois. Okay, Bagent, we all know, went to Shepherd.
Yeah.
Who are the other ones?
Jaren Hall went to BYU.
Jaren Hall, BYU, because he's
Tyson Bagent.
Yeah, Bagent is Division II Shepherd. Yeah.
Who are the other ones? Aiden O'Connell?
Aiden O'Connell went to
Purdue. Aiden O'Connell went to BC because he's like Aiden O'Connell, right? Sounds like a guy who went to BC.
I actually played at Purdue.
Right?
Yeah. Who else?
Clayton Tune, he went to Houston. I know that because I just looked that up two weeks ago for whatever weird reason.
But it's, it's not great. It's not great.
No.
Tommy DeVito, I tweeted this out. He's projected for 9.5 points in my fantasy this week.
Oh, really?
That's got to be the lowest projected total from a starting quarterback in fantasy history.
Well, Mr. DeVito's in trouble this week is all I'm going to say.
He's playing the Cowboys.
Yeah.
Well, let's ask Eli about that.
It's going to be rough.
I mean, it's like name your Giants quarterback, right? I mean.
By the way, does Eli have anything left in the old shoulder? Does he want to play this week?
Does he want to take off the quarter zip and get out there, right?
I feel like he could suit up and probably do just as good this week, with all due respect.
Who's got stronger sweater game? The Manning brothers or Rich? What do you think?
Ooh. Or Jim Nance? Start bench cut.
Manning brothers, Nance, or Rich?
I mean,
get it up.
I gotta
get
say,
it up.
I see Rich's sweater game 5 days a week as opposed to the other ones. His sweater game is strong. I feel like he should have his own line of sweaters somewhere.
I have been trying to get Rich to do like a Target line for men for so long. I'm like, you could do like a really handsome dad line that's not embarrassing. And I think it would basically pay for like a Sun Valley ski house. Go for it. Make a nice Target line. Eli, Peyton, call me after the show. We'll talk about it. We'll brand it like Omaha for Target.
Can he
my brother pointed out, like, they never wear anything that's not a quarter zip.
Really? I never paid attention to that. Can we think he could be a subsidiary of the Michael Strahan collection? Like, you know, Strahan could have his sweater collection to be the Rich Eisen line, you know, like a branch
Something.
Off the tree.
We need to be everywhere.
You know?
Look, we got a bank.
Kohl's, let's go.
What's the expression? Bake hay when the sun's out or something like that? We're going to make hay when the sun's shining? Okay.
Are you trying to do Kenny Chesney lyrics? I'm confused.
You are the weirdest person walking around making up your own country. Why don't you come up with a nice song for the show? Because you have a penchant and a knack.
You got it.
What about your weird country music line?
Well, known fact, Kenny Chesney is the master of the haiku.
What's my bass song, Kenny Chesney?
What is your bass line?
When the sun goes down? All right, I'm in. Let's do it.
I think it's a great idea. I have lots of great ideas at this point in the morning. call me at noon Pacific when we're done, and then I'm basically like, how do I get home?
Wait, where's the champagne? Are we drinking today?
TJ, where is it?
I completely forgot about it.
But where is it?
Probably in the fridge.
Okay. Commercial break. It's not that far.
I'll go check it out.
The croissants day two?
Day two.
Not as good?
Not as squishy fresh.
Yeah, I know.
But still delicious. I ate one at 7:30.
Okay, that's all I'm asking.
Yeah.
Mike ate one.
I had a half.
You did? Okay.
Attaboy, Mike.
I didn't have time, guys. Take a kid to school, leave him on the side of the road, which is also
an option. So many in the box yesterday that we didn't even come close to finishing it. So the leftovers today are perfect.
All right, I'm glad to hear it. Rich is going to call in, zoom in from Frankfurt again. And again, breaking news, Oleg is a major celebrity now in Berlin. Major celebrity. He actually emailed in. It's something. Oleg, as you may or may not have heard from yesterday's show, and if you haven't heard, where were you, number one? And number two, go back and watch it on the YouTube page. Rich did a bike tour throughout Berlin and just had the greatest time. He said he biked 12 kilometers, people. Which I think is probably an Eisen family record, no doubt. Biked 12 kilometers, saw the whole city, and his friend Oleg, his Russian tour guide, was out last night on the town and was told, I know you, Oleg. You are Rich Eisen's tour guide from Berlin, and fantastic. You took the man around. There it is. My kids were so happy to know that he wasn't hurt, that he made it in one piece. So I know for all of you out there waiting for the Colts-Patriots game on Sunday, Rich will be there. He is not questionable. There is no injury. He is reporting and ready for duty. I know you've all been concerned about that. What else? What else do we have?
I think we should go to break.
Take a break. When we come back, Dan Wetzel, because I've got a whole segment without talking about Michigan. You're welcome, everybody.
You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. Susie Schuster sitting in for Rich, who is back in Frankfurt after a couple days off in Berlin. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger's got the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Well, unless you're sitting under a rock or living under a rock, you're totally aware of what's happening with Michigan football right now. And we are very lucky and grateful for Dan Wetzel to join us. Reached out to him this morning. Grateful for you to hop right on with us. Can you just please walk us through, because you have been on top of it more than almost anybody in reporting the latest from Michigan and what you saw in that 10-page return letter that Michigan sent to the Big Ten?
Right. So earlier this week, the Big Ten sent their notice that they were considering punishment under the sportsmanship policy of the league. Michigan had, I guess, 48 hours to respond. They did late Wednesday afternoon, as did Jim Harbaugh's personal attorney, Tom Mars. And so they have responded, brought up their side of the arguments on why this is either not a suspension or some punishment isn't possible under NCAA or Big Ten bylaws and NCAA bylaws and all the different legalese that went through it. There's more to it than that. We'll get to it. But right now, it's back in the Big Ten's hands. They're reviewing the response, and everyone's waiting for a decision to see what punishment, if any, the Big Ten hands down on Jim Harbaugh or Michigan, with the game against Penn State at noon on Saturday, the biggest game so far of the year for Michigan, looming. There's still a possibility Jim Harbaugh doesn't coach that game. So it's kind of a interesting, unprecedented time.
What was in that letter? If you could unpack that 10-page letter, what did it contain?
Well, it was a lot. It's a lot. And, you know, the merits of it will be decided, I guess, eventually. Kind of sets up a potential lawsuit also. So if the Big Ten does suspend, you would expect a stay. I mean, the various things are basically, never before has this suspension or the sportsmanship rule been used to step in and punish a coach while an investigation is still going on, or in any way. The sportsmanship policy is generally like deals with referee, you know, arguing with referees or things like that. It's very nebulous. What is sportsmanship? They talk about how there's nothing proven that Jim Harbaugh committed any unsportsmanlike act, because he's not even aware. There's no proof that he was aware of how Connor Stallions was gathering his information. He was aware that Connor Stallions was a sign stealer, because every team has a sign stealer, but he was not. There's no proof that he was aware of any advance in person scouting or anything like that that Stallions was doing. Therefore, the NCAA has a rule that says, well, there's now strict liability for a head coach. You must be responsible for all of the actions of all of the people underneath you, which is going to be like 100 people. But the Big Ten's rule actually says it's the institution that is responsible for all the people, not the head coach. So can the Big Ten sort of, it's almost like a state court using a federal law. Can you do that? Again, I don't know. I thought one of the more interesting was the lack of evidence at this moment that the Big Ten actually possesses. The NCAA, it seems, is not able to hand over anything that they have found on this until after their investigation is complete, which it is not. So all that really these letters suggest the Big Ten has are some ticket purchases and some really nothing really impactful at all that would suggest even, I'm not sure, or they certainly don't believe, and I'm not sure you could even say Connor Stallions violated a rule based on the lack of evidence that the Big Ten possesses right now. So Michigan is sitting there saying, look, this investigation isn't even complete. There's been no conclusions. There's just allegations. We aren't fairly able to respond to what evidence is out there because you're not presenting it to us. So give us the due process. Let this play out. Don't suspend us now. Now, again, there will be evidence that would it certainly show Connor Stallions did something. But at this moment, there isn't. And so they're arguing the Big Ten is kind of jumping the gun and trying to get this done too soon. And they should let the system play out. The system really, if I think anybody would read any of this, whether you are no matter what team you root for or what you think, the system is not well equipped to handle a situation like this.
You know, and it's like everything else, Dan. This is not about Michigan versus the world. This is feels like it's become crazily partisan in a way. We've seen a lot of Michigan lawmakers petitioning the Big Ten, saying, "Get out of this! Don't penalize them early." Obviously, they all want to go to a nice football game as well, and they see that there's a potential for a national championship on the line here. And yet, the Big Ten has said this is not about punishing the kids, but how is it not punishing the kids if there's a potentiality for suspending their head coach?
That's sort of the problem here. And there, you know, this whole system of NCAA and Big Ten you know, infractions and just overall. And it's one of the reasons there's so much frustration with these organizations is the rules are written very poorly. The punishments can be draconian or then they could be too light. Again, we're not punishing the players. We're just taking your head coach away from a nine. Well, that would seem to be a fairly important thing. But then again, what do? You don't punish anybody. They've struggled to punish people in college basketball and things like that. So then they come up with this strict liability rule, which even if you hope Jim Harbaugh never coaches again, is somehow suspended for life. You do understand that when there's a strict liability rule, that might not be the best idea because it's your coach next. And so there's a lot of problems with the whole thing. And that's why there's so many frustrations. And yeah, it becomes, you know, politicians are jumping in because there's voters and it's a lot of grandstanding. The thing about it, and when you read these and when you get into it, it really boils down to really precise things are going to decide this, and none of them really work well on talk radio or television. But it's things like, you know, what is the definition of an in-person scout? Like, that's never been defined or litigated in any of the documents, but it would be a huge determinant on just how common this is or not how common this is. Does the Big Ten want to walk into the briar patch of, well, we're going to suspend Jim Harbaugh for indefinitely because this scandal reaches, let's say, 100 on our scale. Okay, fine. What happens when another scouting scandal pops up tomorrow that reaches 75? Do you suspend the person three quarters of Jim Harbaugh? You know, what do? The precedent, the Pandora's box, the lack of, I think, a lot of the NCAA and Big Ten and just in college athletics in general, people just walking off cliffs without looking ahead at saying, geez, how is this going to play out the next time is got to be a factor. It's a total circus right now on this story. And I have no good advice. I'm glad I'm not in charge of it. I don't know what's going to happen, but there really isn't a solution that you look at and go, oh, that's going to work out long term or appease everybody in the short term.
Yeah. And I was going to ask you, what do you think is going to happen? And yet at the same time, it's the dumbest question you could ask because we don't know. It's so unprecedented. And I think Tony Petitti coming in, we know him from the television world. He run CBS before or one of those guys? But, you know, he's going to want to make a stamp here. But boy, the rush into making that stamp could be deadly for him and his legacy and also for that of college football, because if our whole country is built on due process and innocent before proven guilty, and there's nothing tying Jim Harbaugh. And again, I didn't go to Michigan, people. Relax, sit down. Oh. But the whole idea of it is penalizing the kids. I mean, we are, 2 days out? We are 2 days and a couple hours from kickoff in Happy Valley.
Yeah, less than 2 days. And that's how much TD doesn't have a lot of experience as a commissioner. Well, he's getting it right now. And it's not easy running these organizations. And it's more than just how much TV money we can get or whatever you would do. So there's just a lot of concern going forward on how it all plays out. And it's very complicated. And a lot of what works, again, in the public sphere or even what the other coaches and administrators are hearing, they're not thinking through, you know, general ethics, the precision of law, precedent, all these different things that a commissioner has to. And, you know, I think, like I said earlier, the one thing that is clearly obvious, no matter where you stand on this, would be this system doesn't really set up well for anyone to do what they're trying to do. So, maybe they can do it, but it just doesn't work right now. And I'm not so sure the best solution would have been like, hey, we got to rewrite this system, but right now we can't do anything to Jim Harbaugh. I know that's not going to please anybody, but the system really isn't set up for this. Now, can they do it? We're going to find out.
So, Dan Wetzel, what should college football do about this?
Well, they should just put headsets in the helmet and not care about this, and then the coaches can communicate. I mean, we're in this narrow path. It's a really weird rule because you're allowed to steal the signs. Okay, that's the main thing. So you're allowed to rob the bank. You're just not allowed to rob the bank this way. You're allowed to rob it all these other ways. And coaches will steal signs off of videotape and then play a team and test their signs and get additional sign information. And then they will share that information with their rival's next team they play, right? At that point, are you in-person scouting? Are you an in-person scout if you were the first team that has gathered all the information? And you can make a fairly compelling legal argument that you are. You're exactly the same as Connor, somewhat the same as Connor Stallion's band of buddies with their iPhones. What's an in-person scout? No one's ever gone through this because this rule got written in 1994 and it apparently has never been, there's never been a case since 1994. So no one really knows where we're standing on this, but you can make, well, and the coaches say, well, that's just common behavior. We do it all the time. So that can't be a violation. Well, just because it's common doesn't mean it's not a violation. It's common for people to speed. It doesn't mean it's not a violation. So that's not a good excuse. It's so murky and so undefined. And if you can get past the, I just want this result or I want this result, it's somewhat interesting, but it's also like, geez, this is just a huge mess. And so if you're going to punish this way, do you punish this way in the future? Do you ignore this but accept this? Do you listen to college coaches who are just, you know, I thought Petitti's one mistake was listening to his to the other coaches in the league. Those are the last people I want the opinion of. It was me. Like, I wouldn't want Jim Harbaugh's opinion on anything going on in Columbus. I'm pretty sure I know what it would be. And I wouldn't want it the other way or anybody else. So who's running this thing? Why, how, where, what thinking is coming up? What's the right discipline? Can you punish before all the facts come in, even though you know these facts are probably coming in? All of it is very, very challenging.
Yeah, you said something that was so precise, which is, why are you asking these people? They definitely have it in Michigan's best interest, and they definitely don't want to win, and they definitely don't want to be the best football team out there. So it was a combination of, mom, he did it, not you, you know. Right. And, like,
and they don't have all the facts.
They don't
They're
have
getting the, stuff mm-hmm. off TV or the internet, and it's like, you know, I mean, I know no one's ever been wrong on the internet, but it's just sort of, you know, if you go on social media, it's sort of lost the plot at this point. Like, the questions are precise and the public discord is broad and loud, right? And that's just the way things work. But in the end, this has to be determined in some kind of fair manner, and it's boring and not fun and all that, but it becomes like, what is the definition of this word? What is this? How does this work? That's not what we're looking for when we're just sitting around talking sports. Should Jim Harbaugh be suspended or not?
And by the way, lest you forget, there's an actual game to be played. And no one's talking about the matchup. They're just busy talking about this potentiality for a lawsuit. So let me ask you what you expect in this game on Saturday.
Yeah, it's Michigan's first big game of the year. And it's November 11th, right? They've cruised to 9 fairly easy victories. And this, their whole season is Penn State Saturday. They get Maryland next week and then Ohio State. And then onward if they can run that gauntlet. So, you know, I think that, to me, this game is about J.J. McCarthy, the Michigan quarterback. I covered Ohio State, Penn State a couple weeks ago. Penn State is not an explosive offense. The one reason they have a terrific defense, if they cannot make big plays, they're not going to score a ton of points. We'll see. But if that's the case, same thing. The one thing that beat Penn State was basically Ohio State receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. making plays downfield. Michigan does not have a Marvin Harrison Jr. Nobody has a Marvin Harrison Jr. But they do have this quarterback that is a Heisman candidate, has put up big numbers. He's experienced. This is a J.J. McCarthy game to win. If he plays very well and is moving the ball and scoring points, I'm not sure Penn State can keep up. So how J.J. McCarthy plays in this game, to me, will be the deciding factor of the game.
At this point, do you think this is J.J.'s Heisman to lose?
No, I wouldn't say that. I think there's a bunch of candidates out there. You know, Michael Penix. I still think Jaden Daniels had an incredible year. You could have Bo Nix. You could have there's many players that are having terrific seasons. So I think J.J.'s in that mix. But obviously, if he puts up huge numbers, Penn State and Ohio State and stuff like that, yeah, he could conceivably win it. But right now, he just needs to score some points and play really well on the road at Happy Valley. It's not at night. It's not that white out at night, but that's not an easy place to play. It should be. And that's a very good Penn State defense. Very good.
What stories in college football are we missing because we're so myopic about this story that's happening
well,
right now?
Well, we love scandals in college football now. I mean, that's
they've never
part.
Happened before. It's so weird. I've always known a very normal and placid college football experience.
It. Yeah, we love
just
it.
Just ask Jim Tressel. Them. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't understand the people. Like, I wish this, I know, this is the stuff everybody lives for. I mean, you know, the I don't know that we're missing a lot if you're really into it, but there's some good games. I mean, it's going to be a terrific. Ole Miss is at Georgia this weekend. I don't know if that's getting any attention. Ole Miss is 9. Can Ole Miss step up in class? They've been a very, very good program under Lane Kiffin, but when they get to the Alabamas and perhaps Georgias of the world, not that it's some shameful thing, they can't really compete or haven't competed at the level I think they would like. They get another chance Saturday down in Athens to upset everything here. I think that's obviously the other big game. And then there's Utah, which is perennially just maybe the toughest team to beat in the Pac-12. They're playing Washington this weekend. Washington's undefeated, rolling along. Does Utah play a role like they did last year in upsetting USC's playoff hopes? Do they mess it up? So there's some terrific games. There's all sorts of different stories. College football is awesome, and we love it, but we love the scandals too. And it'll all get sorted out. If you're not too emotionally invested, it can be entertaining.
Oh, please. Every college football fan is emotionally invested. Before we lose you, what are your thoughts on USC at the moment?
Well, the defense really hurt them. I mean, I think there'll be a time, or maybe it's already there, where USC and USC fans will look back and see we had Caleb Williams and couldn't win. In a different scale, I liken it to when Patrick Mahomes was at Texas Tech, and you look back and go, how didn't you win more games? You had Patrick Mahomes. I'm not saying Caleb Williams will be Patrick Mahomes, but this was a terrific football player, and it just didn't quite hit as a team the way they wanted. They were on the cusp of the playoff last year. Obviously it's not going to happen this year. So I think there'd probably be a lot of frustration, and it's really the defense letting them down.
Dan, thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate you coming on with us here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. We didn't even ask him one Boston question. He's got the Bruins mug in the background. He's from Norton, Massachusetts. We didn't even ask him anything. Epic fail, I have to say. Next time, we'll go hardcore masshole with him. I mean, that's the thing, you guys. I mean, I think that's all. People are either angry at Michigan or angry at the Big Ten, and that's all there is. And I know a lot of people are thinking, by the way, Lane Kiffin must be like, wait a minute, what about me over here? I like attention. Because Lane likes attention. So you would have to think that maybe he's like, wait a minute, smoke and mirrors, yeah, what's going
on?
What can I do? What did I do this week? I don't know. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll close up the first hour of the show. Eli Manning ahead, and one Rich Eisen from Frankfurt, Germany will be zooming in the third hour, maybe the second, when we come back.
Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes
as
for
it should.
Years.
You guys ruined that.
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I didn't know.
People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open WWO Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. That is right, stream Kevin Harlan, who I love, Kurt Warner, and me. I'm on for What the Football. I'm on for What the Football. Okay, thank you very much. Right, you can also listen to Rich for Monday Night Football. Don't Ron Burgundy me. I just read me.
That's what I'm saying.
Happens. I tried to let it go that I was like, no, you didn't. And me.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Whatever. Leave me alone. We're drinking here. We just opened a little. We may have hit the sauce at 9:47 in the morning Pacific time, but join Rich Eisen all season long. Did you slurp into the mic?
That was me.
That was nasty.
Come on.
For free, get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. I can't get fired. I mean, what's Rich going to do?
I'll just
lock the door. So there you go. And me. For what, the football? Did you see how I tried to clean that up?
You tried.
Such a bad job.
I don't know how successfully.
Whatever.
We'll just edit it.
Whatever. No one's listening. Wait, hold on.
What
let's take Manny.
Lots of people are listening.
I'm laughing.
Phone
Come
calls.
On. I could because I care. Manny, you've been on the phone for a while.
Manny.
Let's take Manny.
Manny.
How are you, Manny?
Manny.
Hello, Miss Susie and gentlemen. Greetings from a breezy, chilly, 64-degree day in El Paso, Texas.
Good morning. Hello. How are you?
Is there an Eisen Oleg watch going on? Do we want to know how many pints of beer were downed? All I know is that we need an Oleg chant. We need to start off with Oleg.
That's a good one.
Anyways,
well done,
seriously,
Manny.
Seriously.
Well done.
Well, congratulations to Ryan Blaney becoming NASCAR champion, giving Roger Penske back-to-back titles. Congratulations, Texas Rangers. It's been a week and a day, and unlike the other Texas team, no cheating scandal. And, of course, congratulations, Rich Eisen Show, on receiving a Marconi Award. In my eyes, that's way better than Emmy. Miss Susie, my question is, did you clear out Rich's office to make room for the new hardware? And if you can disclose what other items may have been tossed out? And also, Miss Susie, your mom comment, I love it. I'm 44 years old. I call my mother every night. I tell her I love her. Why? Because one of these days, hopefully not very soon, I'm not going to get a chance to. Anyways, we still got football. We still got basketball. We still got hockey. Let's watch some sports. I love you guys. Have a good day. Bye-bye, everybody.
Hey, Manny.
That was a fantastic call, Manny. You brought
him.
The energy. You
does.
Gave your mom the props. I mean, you really literally dotted every I, crossed every T. You were fantastic, Manny. Thank you for saying that you appreciated my comments on Caleb Williams. I really thank you for the support on that. And by the way, that was just a high-energy call, the best one to start a series of
it was
calls
great.
Right now.
It was great.
Nick in South Carolina, what do you got for us? Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
How are you today?
What's up,
thanks
Nick?
For taking the time.
Nick, what up?
I'm doing well, thank you. I also want to compliment you on your comments yesterday about Caleb Williams.
really appreciate that. Thank you.
Sorry,
it's all right.
I lost my mom in 2018.
Oh, sorry, buddy. Sorry.
And TJ, you were absolutely right. Get all the hugs you can from your mom while you can.
Yeah, Nick, it's so hard.
There comes a point when you can't. So, anyway, you know, it sounded like yesterday when you were making your comments about Caleb Williams, there was a few moments in there where it sounded like you wanted to maybe throw in some colorful words that, you know, you refrained from doing, but... you know, I could see it on your face, man, and I really appreciate you saying that.
Well, Nick, and, I wish I could give you a hug across the country, and I'm sending you my love and my thoughts. And, you know, anybody who knows me knows that I have a foul mouth and knows that I have to work very hard to keep this PG. And especially when it comes to, you know, some kind of toxic reaction to things. So, So, Nick, I appreciate you calling in. It means so much to us that you take the time. And thank you for sharing your emotion about your mom. It just means you're a strong man, and it means that you were raised by a strong woman.
Yep.
Oh, man, she was I know you have the sign there on the desk, best mom ever. But my mom was also one of those. And, you know, I miss her every day. But what I'm calling about is, you know, I've seen some other sports shows where these experts are talking about the Dolphins-Chiefs game, and nobody is saying anything about how all-world tight end Travis Kelce was held to 3 catches and 14 yards. Miami's defense shut them out in the second half, and all they're talking about is how Miami can't beat any good teams. But, you know, they're going to be a playoff team, and the other teams better look out.
I think you are 100% right. I think it's very easy to harp on the numbers. I think that people tend to concentrate on the team that wins And I know that if I were playing Miami, I would be cowering in a corner because I think that they are so powerful on every cylinder. And I can't think of a coach right now that Rich is a bigger fan of. So I think you are 100% right. And I think it just goes to show you as well how many weapons Kansas City has. Absolutely. That they were able to shut down Travis Kelce the way that they did. Thank you so much for calling, and I hope you call in whenever I'm sitting in the chair.
I will do so. Thank you very much, Susie.
Really appreciate much your time.
Nick. See you, Nick. Much love. Yeah, Susie, on the Dolphins real quick, I think that's a fair point that Nick brings up. They did play great in the second half, and aside from that fluke play to kind of end the first half with Tyreek Hill there that, you know, could have went either way, whether that got overturned, TJ, that's a much closer game. It's 14-0 at half. Then it's 14-14 in the fourth quarter, and maybe Miami squeaks that one out. We don't know. If you look at Miami's schedule coming up, their next 5 weeks, they could easily win all five games. We're looking at a team that could be 11-3 as we get closer to Christmas and that date with the Cowboys, and suddenly we're talking about them as, you know, kind of challenging for the one seed, depending on what comes up, because we know Kansas City, you know, kind of has a tough schedule down the stretch. So Miami's certainly still in it. I'm also one of the people saying who have they beaten, which I think is also valid. But they are going to be right there in the mix as we get down the stretch here.
I don't think you're wrong, but I think Mike McDaniel is one of those coaches to keep an eye on. As you talk about who's going to be cycling out of the NFL world, he is a rising star. Let's look at the Dolphins schedule really quick while we're talking.
He's going to be there for a long time. Yeah, he's going to be the Dolphins coach for a long time.
For those of you who are watching along us with Roku, I mean, Chris, let's go through the schedule.
Yeah, so they're on a bye this week. You know, kind of a bummer if you have a lot of Dolphins fantasy. Me, I'm going against Tyreek Hill, so it works out. But then they got Vegas, the Jets, the Commanders, Titans, and Jets again. I mean, four and one at the worst. I mean, it could be 5-0 if they're clicking. And then Christmas Eve, Cowboys at Ravens, home for Bills to end the season. Now, three tough games to finish, but are they riding momentum on a five-game winning streak going to Dallas? We'll see. And then, you know, like I said, they could be 11-3 and suddenly we're like, Dolphins, one seed. So, you know.
That's it. 844-204-RICH is the number to call. Cy, we see you. Hold on. All of you on the phone, just hold on. We want to get to you. We will get to you on the other side of this break. But we're going to take a break in a couple minutes.
I also haven't really eaten anything this morning, and I'm starting to feel the champagne already.
I thought you had a croissant already.
I did, but I feel like that went right through me. This is on my, like, whoa.
Well, good thing I came with breakfast yesterday and the day before. It's like my kids. I'm like, you can't have a leftover? I mean, you got a whole bunch of croissants
in the
back.
Middle of my point.
Rich Eisen on the other side of this break. Eli Manning. I'm Susie Schuster. In with these bunch of crazy people here at the Rich Eisen Show.
Because we have fun.
Well, I mean, I have one. You can borrow mine.
Hey.
Wow. Donkey!
Donkey!
What is your Emmy for?
You know,
outstanding Emmy? Sports reporting.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Congrats.
You're welcome.
Local or is it the big time?
I mean, I don't know. It's like...
disrespect. How dare you?
I mean...
What?
Oh, my God.
I have hardware. Local? What do you have?
Oh, by the way, didn't deny that it was local.
The spec is real.
And yet you still got them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way.
I ain't got one.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I ain't got one.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I got a Marconi.
Do
you have a Marconi?
Well, Rich won a Marconi.
Well, yeah.
So by proxy,
I feel like
we
by proxy,
got a Marconi.
And by you and we, I mean... I do.
Rich has that Emmy in the back, but it was because when he was
on Sports. Dude, that is an Emmy for 75 people.
Literally, he showed up to SportsCenter and he was there for 2 months and he got the Emmy.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm like, mine's for me.
Right,
all right?
Susie.
Right. Mine's, Mikey, you know it, and I know it. And cheers to all of you guys.
Exactly.
And if you're watching on Roku, it's time to pour, baby.
Let's go.
It's time to pour, Roku. Roku, join us.
Roku? I have a Pennsylvania School Press Award for being a great writer.
I was main sports columnist of the year in 2009.
Nobody cares.
See? Just saying.
Now that's local.
That's like I was a podcast. I have the top podcast from the closet.
Come on now.
What? Nobody's reading.
That's local.
Hey, Roku, join us here. We're going champagne heavy. I'm just saying here on the Rich Eisen Show. You can drink with us, okay? That's how I ignore Chris Brockman. I just opened another bottle of champagne.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Too much time is spent discussing talent's age. The younger demo is just as excited about a Paul Heyman or a John Cena or an Undertaker or Becky Lynch, or I don't care what their birth certificate says, they're going to draw a younger demo because they're fun to watch and they're great entertainers.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.